Some of you are hoping for snow this season. Maybe more of you are hoping for no snow this season. The Collinsworth family was traveling to Wyoming, I think, for a concert, and they had to cancel it the other night because they had snowstorms all day long. The traveling was so slow. I wouldn't know that except for people that we sat with at Christmas dinner in Noblesville on Friday. And wouldn't know those things without hearing somebody else say it. But, you know, some people are getting a whole bunch of snow. There's a whole bunch of people maybe around here that are just putting up their hands in resistance. So I thought I'd wear my snowman tie today. Last time I wore it, it snowed. Remember that? But I wore it because it says joy, peace, and hope. It's got a Christmas message. Advent, second Sunday of Advent. What a wonderful season. If you can get through all the busyness, the hectic schedule, the crowds, the traffic, if you can get through all of that, it's a wonderful season. I'm going to be looking in Isaiah chapter 60. I'm going to be looking in Hebrews chapter 3, chapter 10. You can take your pick as to what you want to follow along with. Any of those, but different passages this morning. Would you bow your head with me as we ask for God's divine help in this part of the service? Father, we're thankful today for your blessings. But here we are coming up to this point in the service when we were once again reminded and realized afresh how much we need you. How much we need your divine anointing and strength. Pray that you would minister to our hearts today because of the voice of the Holy Spirit being heard as we look at your word this morning. Pray that you would bless in every part here, touching our hearts together. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Advent. Advent is a Christian season of preparation for the nativity of Christ at Christmas. You can Google Advent and you'll probably find that somewhere. That's what I did. That's how I know that you can find it if you Google it. There's all sorts of stuff that you can find when you Google things. Something as simple as Advent. You can find a number of different things that are written about Advent. We understand that the word Advent is adopted from the Latin Adventus. I guess is how you pronounce it. It means the coming or the arrival. The anticipation of the coming and the arrival. I understand that translating it into the Greek, it would be parousia. And again, I don't know for sure about the pronunciation. But in the New Testament, this word, this term is used not for Christmas, but for the second coming of Christ. You see, Christmas, the coming of the Christ child, is past. We now celebrate it in past. But the Advent that you and I can experience is twofold or threefold if you want to include Christmas. Advent is the preparation for the coming or the arrival of the Christ child at Christmas. Secondly, and most importantly for us today, is the preparation for the coming of the Christ child for us to worship today. What would life be like in the church setting if we did not have, at least in our mind, the desire to worship? If we just simply came just to fill our spot and to see everybody else and to look at everyone's Christmas dress today, admire their ties or the bows in the hair or whatever it might be. If it was just simply a social gathering, how different would life be? But the preparation and the anticipation, the advent, the coming of the arrival of the Son of God for us to worship. And then thirdly, is His second coming. The second coming of Christ. When is that going to be, preacher? I don't know. Do you? No, none of us do. We might have some speculation. We might have some ideas. We can read the books of the New Testament. We can look into the Old Testament. We can compare and we can study and we can listen to all sorts of people's ideas of what is to take place, but we still do not know about His second coming. That's what makes it a real, real Advent thing for us in the anticipation of Him coming, arriving on that second coming. Since we don't know when it is, it really behooves us, it really challenges us to make sure that we're ready for His coming. That we are ready for His coming. Now, I'm a little bit behind. The first Sunday of Advent was last Sunday, but somebody else was preaching last Sunday morning. And so if I had been preaching last Sunday, I would have been looking at this subject then, but it's okay. We still have time. And so this particular subject that I want to look at this morning is in relationship to the word hope in this Advent season. Hope. It's an intransitive verb that means to cherish a desire with anticipation. I have some great anticipation this year because there's a set of twins that I get to give a gift to. And I've been begging to give those gifts to them already. Jonathan keeps telling me, "No, Dad, it's not Christmas Day yet." It doesn't change anything for them to get it today or on Christmas Day, does it? It doesn't change a thing. But he is just adamant that I cannot give those twins their Christmas gift until Christmas Day. So if there's anything I anticipate more, I don't know what it would be than to give my granddaughters their gift that they won't even know and understand until, what, 5 years or so down the road? Do you know what I mean by anticipation? My wife's birthday's coming up in just a few days. It's out there a little ways, but I got up this morning and I saw her in the kitchen and I said, "Happy birthday, Leanne. I have a gift for her that I want to give to her. Why do I have to wait till her birthday? Can I just go ahead and give it to her now?" Anticipation. Some of you kids, some of you children, some of you young at heart that are still kid at heart, you're anticipating Christmas because of all of the secrecy and all of what's going on and those gifts and that representation there, the anticipation. There's hope. There's a great hope. It's an intransitive verb that means to cherish a desire with anticipation. It's also a transitive verb that means to desire with expectation of obtainment or fulfillment. To expect with confidence. To expect with confidence. Now, when I look at the word hope, I think about it, and it's quite commonly referred to as the candle of hope in the Advent season. I don't want to talk about a candle of hope. I want to talk about a light of hope, because hope is a light shining in the midst of a dark place. Hope really stands out in the midst of darkness. In the midst of all of the stuff that's going on in the world, there is hope in this light that came at Christmas, the first Christmas. The light of hope. If you go to Isaiah chapter number 60, the first three verses is talking about a light that has come. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Now that's some prophetic words there that is speaking to the coming of the Christ child, but it's also a little bit in reference to the city of Jerusalem that sits up on the hill, and the morning sun, the rising sun of the morning, hits the golden city of Jerusalem first in the midst of the surrounding areas, and it lights itself up by the light of the rising sun, providing hope in the midst of the darkness of the night. If you have seen Jerusalem in the morning light, you can understand what I'm saying as it seems to glow. And that light of hope that Jerusalem would offer to the people in that area, especially in biblical times, and it's still offering hope today. And there's that light that shines, that is bold in the midst of the darkness. Let me jump over to Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 6. Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we. You understand this now. He's talking about us. Whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Now, I like to look at this in this particular verse and in a couple of these verses. The word confidence and the word hope are both used. Now, I don't know if you want to call it hand in hand or hand in glove, but they go together. And again, it doesn't really matter to me how you want to look at it, as hand in hand or hand in glove, but I believe that it is right here, confidence and hope, that we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. I'm talking about the second coming, the anticipation of his coming, the return of Christ, when he calls his church, his bride, his people to himself. It's going to make Christmas pale in comparison, the glorious nature of that second coming of Christ. Hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence, our hope, steadfast unto the end. What would make a person lose hope? What would cause a person to throw away their confidence? There's a lot of people in this world today that are losing hope. You know, the stock market has been a little volatile. Things of investments have been watched very closely by a number of people. And I get my statement every month of my retirement fund. And this particular year, 2022, it's gone down more than it's gone up. And I looked at last time I got my statement, and I looked at it, and I realized how much I've lost in this calendar year. And then I began at some point to read an article about some people who have lost multiple billion dollars. Well, I'm not so bad. It's not that rough. I didn't have that much by any means to lose. Maybe looking at it from my angle, I'm worse off than they are because they still have multiple billions. But there's people that are losing hope. And when you look at what the status is of people's lives, you can understand the loss of hope as their hope is found in that account. Their hope, their identity is brought to them by those accounts and by those circumstances of prosperity. That's their identity. But our identity is found in Christ. And the hope that He gives us provides us an identity. Gives us an identity. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, the writer then shifts the gears a little bit from what we saw in chapter 3, verse 6 and 14. And in verse number 35, he says, "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, your hope." The Amplified says, "Do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great and glorious compensation of reward." Another translator said, "Therefore do not cast from you your confident hope." There, this translator puts both words together. Do not cast from you your confident hope, for it will receive a vast reward. Why would somebody cast away their confidence or their hope? Well, it's found in the actual original language of that word, casting away. It's found there because as somebody casts it away in this particular context, what it means is that they are discarding something of little to no value. Man, we don't like it when the wife comes up and says, "Do you still need this? It's been lying around the house for months." "No, I don't need it right now, but I might tomorrow." "John, do you want this anymore?" "Okay. It was given to me by my great-grandfather." Just kidding. Why do we get rid of stuff like that? We get rid of stuff because we have lost its value. It no longer means anything to us. Because it's not important to us anymore. My mom was just out last week. It was great to have her around. And in the stuff that she brought me, some of the stuff I don't want to see, some of it was report cards. I didn't realize how poor of a student I was for so long a time. Didn't realize that. I don't want those. They don't have any value to me. But down in the bottom of a box, there were two wood-handled knives. And on the handles was engraved, scratched in it with maybe another knife or a nail or something. Scratched in there was the letters FN. So I texted my mom. I said, "Mom, what's the deal with these knives?" And she said, "Knives?" She forgot she had put them in that box that came to me. I said, "Mom, do you want them back? They have Grandpa's initials, Fred Neff." Well, she said, "No, if you want them, you can have them." Well, I already had taken them out to the garage, and I ground them down, worked them over, and instead of being butter knives, now they are sharp enough to... I'm bald right here from shaving the hair on my hand. Sharp. And I took a video of the one cutting a slab of meat and sent it to my mom. Here, Mom, here's Grandpa's knife. My wife said, "Do you have anything else from your grandpa?" Well, she's trying to get at something. If you don't have anything, you can keep them. But if you do have something else, you can't keep them. I do have something else, and it is very valuable to me, even though it's not very valuable if I put it on eBay. Just like these knives, they won't have any value to anybody else on eBay, but I can value them. But a knife that I find out in the woods buried underneath rubble, it probably doesn't mean anything to me, does it? I can cast it away. And that's what he's talking about, casting away your confidence and your hope because you no longer have any value to it. Why would a person lose confidence? Why would a person lose hope? How could it be that somebody could lose the hope or the confidence they have in Christ? They can cast it away or they can discard it as a worthless garment. If you stop and ask yourself, maybe as you're thinking about it, why would the Hebrew writer press this issue these three times here? Is there any significance to this warning that we find in these passages? What if we would just step back for just a moment, to take a step back for just a moment and look around us and look for the light of hope that is shining or the lack of the light? You know, the light of hope that may be shining or is trying to shine is quite often crowded out by the darkness of sorrow, the darkness of grief, the darkness of pain. And you and I don't have to go very far away from our homes, and sometimes we don't even have to get out of bed before we realize the sorrows and the griefs and the pain that comes with life. Maybe it came through the night hours when the darkness pressed in upon you on the outside as well as the inside because of the sorrows and the griefs and the pains of life were pressing in and crowding out that little ray of light of hope that is within. Maybe that darkness that is surrounding the light of hope is being pressed around because of bad news from the doctor, or bad news from the lawyer, or bad news from the boss, or bad news from a family member. Whatever the circumstances are, the bad things of life seem to press around an individual and try to snuff out the light of hope that is within. Well, walking onto the maternity floor of a hospital a number of years ago with a recently married couple, the beautiful sounds of the lullaby was played every time a baby was born, echoing in the halls. Only on this particular walk down this hall, those tones were like a dagger to the heart because this baby's heartbeat had already been silenced. And the cry that escapes the heart of the mother or the father or the grandparents that was all right there with us at that time crying out, God, where are you? You could have. Why didn't you? We held the lifeless form of that perfect form, barely the size of my hand. And grieved with those parents. Where's the light of hope in those circumstances? You see, it's in those darkest of times that the enemy will attack the most savagely. It's in those dark times that the enemy will come pressing in and accuse and threaten with harshness. God's not smiling on you today, is he? God's gone. God's not in your life. God's punishing you. God doesn't see you. God doesn't hear you. God doesn't even like you. Have you ever heard those words from the accusing voice of the enemy in the darkest of times and trying to snuff out the candle or the light of hope? That's why people lose hope. That's why they cast away their confidence. That's why they lose the value of the hope, because the enemy presses in with all the darkness and the accusations. But we, here, today, the second Sunday of Advent for Christmas 2022, we must be reminded that hope is provided. We must remind others that hope is provided in the birth of the Messiah, in the birth of the Savior. Jesus gives hope to whosoever will, the masses of the world. But not only does he provide hope to the whosoever will masses of the world, but he also provides hope to the individuals of those masses.
Because in the midst of the masses of people, we see the stories of individuals like the Samaritan woman at the well, where Jesus zeroed in on her particular need and met with her specifically. We see the story in the midst of the masses on the road, and there we find that Jesus zeroes in on the individual that we know of as Zacchaeus. There was the blind man along the road, the crippled man by the pool. Those all these historical figures that we find in the New Testament, and we can reach out and we can somewhat resonate with it, but when we bring it right down to the very road that you and I are walking on today, we can realize that not only does Jesus provide hope to the individuals on the busy streets of life, but he's got you and me zeroed in as well. For one day, he looked down and he saw John Ziegler, born into a parsonage with a stubborn streak a mile long in his heart, and he provided hope for the likes of me. You can put your name right in there as well, because he's providing hope for you this morning, and giving you hope today in the midst of the darkness that is around. The light of hope is burning bright in the anticipation of the celebration of Christ's birth, which brings salvation to all of us. Capital A, capital L, capital L, all of us. The light of hope is opening the door of worship even for us today. The light of hope is opening the door of worship even for us today. The light of hope is providing the means for our preparation for his second coming. Could it be before Christmas? Could it be before the new year? Could it be before some of us ever experience another birthday that he might call our name, and where we are removed from this walk of life, or that he comes back to claim his bride? Could it be? Are we ready for that day? It doesn't matter what's on the statement from the retirement fund. It doesn't matter what's on the statement from the bank. It doesn't matter what anything else that is taking place. But what does matter is that the light of hope is burning within our heart in anticipation of his return. Are you ready? Are you ready for that day? May the hope of Christmas shine brightly within our heart with the anticipation of his return to earth, that the advent of Christmas will carry over to the advent of his coming. Let's stand together. Simply put this morning, have you allowed his light of hope into your heart by receiving Christ? Receiving the Christ of Christmas and his salvation to give you a light of hope for his soon return. If you haven't received that light of hope, you can. It can burn within your heart this very day and cause you, with anticipation, great anticipation, look for the time that he comes back. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed, an altar is prepared, is ready for you to find that peace in your heart. If you need to pray this morning, we'd be happy for you to come and pray. Let us pray with you today. Whatever your need is, whatever your need might be, praise God for the light of hope. The light of hope. Praise his name. Praise his name. Thank you for your attendance. Thank you for your attention. And I trust that the light of hope is burning and will burn brightly. Even as the city of Jerusalem shines in the morning light, that this ray of hope shines brightly in our heart this season. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Brother Keith Shaper, would you dismiss us in prayer?